It's coming through a crack in the wall on a visionary flood of alcohol from the staggering account of the Sermon on the Mount, which I don't pretend to understand at all. It's coming from the silence on the dock of the bay, from the brave, the bold, the battered heart of Chevrolet. Democracy has come to the USA.
Good afternoon. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show on WCOMLP, Chapel Hill in Carrboro. We come to you every Wednesday afternoon from 5 to 6, bringing you topical stuff and the occasional local news, too. Today we have Lori Hoyt, who's my co-host. I'm Dick Paddock, and Miriam Thompson is here, who will give us some stuff, too, and later on we'll hear something that we did 2 weeks ago with Tana Hartman about, returning by popular demand, and something we hope to continue talking about in the future, and that's the whole issue of corporations versus democracy. And that was very well led in by Leonard Cohen singing about democracy is coming to the USA, maybe. We hope.
Yeah, well, that's what...
Or returned, or restored.
When I sat here, Dick, listening to that song, I felt like crying, really, because it seems to be going in the opposite direction, but I have to hope that that this is a hope. It's very, very discouraging news right now.
It's going to take more than hope. It's going to take us getting out
action,
there on the line.
That's right.
You're absolutely right.
And by the way, that's what people depend on, that people are discouraged, lose hope, and won't act. And
I'm glad you're here, Miriam. She's going to pick us all up and energize us with this wonderful energy, which we need right now. And Miriam, I'm glad you're here. She's one of our favorite guests, Miriam Thompson from WILP, the NAACP. YCP and various other subversive groups. And she's going to do some, before we get on into our tape on corporations, she's going to do some local catch-up with us on what's happening. So, Miriam.
I think last, in recent weeks, I think I'm going to start with a local campaign. We just met. Wilf has been, as you know, very much involved with workers' rights and the labor movement, and I like to repeat Paul Krugman's phrase that the only way we're going to reverse, or one of the primary ways we're going to reverse, he actually said the only way we're going to reverse the corporate takeover of our democracy and the Tea Party candidates and the Congress that they own in great measure is if the labor movement is revitalized. Mm-hmm. And I only wish, you mentioned all the subversive organizations we all belong to, like Wilf and NAA. We also belong to the labor movement, and I actually hope it's more subversive because we need the kind of labor movement that we saw in the, you know, in the 30s, and we need it to rise again.
That is the main reason that with this so-called recession, really depression, that we're suffering, so many people are suffering right now. Do you think that the reason that the Obama and the government don't respond better is that there's not a strong labor movement? Do you think that's a
The answer is I think that's a strategic part.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
Absolutely. I think the only way that we got, you know, we can do a whole history lesson on labor, and there's a wonderful person we ought to get here. So I'm going to give him a plug. We have, I don't want to forget to mention, Mary B. McMillan is coming to the community church on Labor Day weekend, and I urge people to come.
Oh my gosh.
I think Labor Day is Monday the 4th, so she would be coming the 3rd, whatever that Sunday is before Labor Day. She'll be at the community church on Purefoy Road, and she is a passionate spokesperson for labor.
Oh.
She is the secretary-treasurer of the AFL-CIO. And even though in a right-to-work state.
Right, that's the state AFL-CIO.
That's the state AFL-CIO. Yeah. Actually, I wish she was secretary-treasurer of the whole national as well. But she will talk about labor and struggle and the kind of moral backbone that we need to really turn things around. But there is a local effort that Wilf has been working on. We spoke... And I think you're going to, a few weeks ago with Tani, spoke about our great friend at Moncure, where Wilf played a major role in the solidarity movement that he lost his son. But right here in Chapel Hill, historically, there has been the struggle of housekeepers, right?
Decades long.
And the most abused and exploited.
Yes.
There's now strong challenges to sexual harassment, especially of the new Burmese workers. So, our good friend Al McShirley is representing, but I'm reminded by Al McShirley of the history that they really won under a chancellor that I don't remember. If you give me some choices, Hardin, was there a Hardin?
Was it Martin?
Hardin.
That's who it was. They negotiated, though the state still has the racist Jim Crow law that prevents collective bargaining. They negotiated a collective bargaining agreement with UNC. So there's really history that we can work for in behalf of dispossessed workers, disenfranchised workers.
As I understand the law, and I'm not absolutely sure, but I was surprised when I heard it, and that is... negotiations and sitting down and talking and whatever are okay, but you can't sign the contract is the illegal part.
Yeah, but I want or it's
and
against
so
the law.
Right.
Yeah. We think the law is illegal, but the 95-98
right.
Preventing
law is unconstitutional, but the law as written and as observed says that you cannot sign the contract. The contract has no meaning.
Right. It especially prohibits collective bargaining, in the statement in law. But I'm glad you brought it up, because what the UNC model, which was in, the mid-90s, shows that they can do it, even without state law. We can negotiate if we have the support of the community. And, of course, there was a vibrant housekeeper organization, which we're struggling to rebuild. And that's what I want to deal with. Would you believe, last year, We were all on the streets. Remember, we were on the campus getting parents and students to sign a petition supporting the housekeepers, without whose maintenance and dedication students wouldn't have clean and healthy dorms. And they're like in loco parentis. I mean, they really take care
they
of
really
the students.
Are.
It was a really a beautiful letter to the chancellor by members of the community. Well, we're being asked to do it again. So even though the chancellor has heard and spent a couple of $100,000 of very spare taxpayer money to hire these consultants to interview housekeepers and come up with proposals. So that should be on another show. Maybe when they release their report, it'll be interesting to read it.
When is that report?
They think it'll be released in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
We should be cautious because we're waiting to see what they propose, how authentic their interviews were, but we're hoping that they really will acknowledge what we've been fighting for and the grievances.
The ways that the housekeepers are being treated so disrespectfully, so unfairly.
Right, and with, you know, major grievances, including sexual harassment, the favoritism, you know, discriminatory application of promotion and discipline policies. So it continues. So even though he's hired these people, even though he was meeting, the Chancellor Thorpe was meeting, even though our petitions and our telephone numbers and our calls and all that, the fact is the militarized management culture continues.
And the housekeepers, it's a prime example of the several articles coming out recently about how workers in this country are being squeezed. And this is, you know, where you have less people and expect them to do more work. And this is particularly egregious with the housekeepers because what they do is hard physical work and sometimes not the healthiest with using chemicals for cleaning and
yes,
things like
health
that.
And safety is a
and
big one.
And having to cart heavy vacuums or machinery up several flights of stairs so that they are particularly vulnerable to this squeezing that the university is doing to other employees, but the housekeepers bear the brunt of it.
There are local story. I want people to know that if we can, we can help with Wisconsin workers, we can help with the collective bargaining in North Carolina, we can challenge our own state legislature that put thousands and thousands of workers out on unemployment. Our unemployment has increased. We can do all that stuff, but we also can, one step at a time, but right here in North Carolina, we can change the conditions of our own housekeepers. So there's a petition to remove and reassign Tanya Sell. Some people listening to radio broadcast may remember Tanya Sell. She continues her behavior. She continues her militarized approach to supervising the housekeepers. She continues the practices of favoritism, health and safety violations, and now sexual harassment has really reared its head. So the housekeepers are requesting that Chancellor Holden Thorpe remove and reassign Tanya Sell from her position as Assistant Director of Housekeeping Services. Ms. Sell has created a hostile work environment. She lacks in professionalism, treats management and staff unfairly, even her own supervisors, and shows extreme favoritism. She lacks management skills and is not trustworthy when it comes to dealing with employee issues. UNC Housekeeping will fail to meet its stated goal of improving management practices and employer-employee relations with Ms. Sell in charge. So we're asking people to come to the NAACP meeting on August 6th at noon at Hargraves. We will be featuring the housekeeper story. We will have petitions that people can
sign.
So
it's at noontime now.
Noon at Hargraves on August 6th. Right.
First Saturday in August. And note the time change. It's only been on for a few months. Noontime.
Right.
And everybody's welcome. This is such a wonderful and important group to give you support and your time and to learn a lot
from and
with.
And WILF is a strategic partner.
We are.
And then we'll mention throughout the show, but WILF, of course, is having its meeting the following Saturday on August 13th
at the Friends Meeting House, where we have our usual meetings. But this is maybe a good time to mention that due to football game parking, there will be a change, just a heads up on this, in September and October. So, But August will be our traditional, and we're so blessed that we have that wonderful space at the Friends Meeting House on Raleigh Road. And, you know, you always have to get in touch with us, call us. And again, WILF is always open to and puts out a very welcome mat and open arms to anybody who'd like to come to our meetings.
I want to give people Verla Insko's telephone number and Ellie Kinnaird, if they don't have it. Well, they'll be signing the housekeeper letter. We'll be signing it, NAA, telling the chancellor that we support the housekeeper's effort to change the management culture by a stunning thing that he has to do, which is to reassign Tonya Sell to another position. I think that message will tell housekeepers that their grievances are really being heard.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't have either one of those.
So. I will get it. But what I did want to talk about, why they two are important. We lost a really we lost two votes yesterday. You know, the Senate ran through several overrides of the governor's vetoes. The two that we've been talking about have been what I'll call the pro-choice. They're calling it the abortion bill. It wasn't an abortion bill. It was really disenfranchising women. That's what it's about. It's taking away the relationship. It's putting in male power in between a woman's right to choose and a woman's conversation with her doctor.
That's such an important point. Yeah. All this talk about lessening regulations on corporations, lessening regulations on the environment, but when it comes to women's bodies, that they must think we are cretins, that we cannot go and make decisions with our doctor about our body and our health, that the government, of all the times that they say government should be shrunk so it can be, you know, wash down the bathtub because government is not good. And boy, they sure want a lot of government power when it comes to women and their health and their bodies. And they also want a lot of government power when it comes to war making and killing other people.
Right.
That's where they want a big government.
Right. Especially enforcing your somewhat questionable Second Amendment rights.
Guns.
Yeah, right. The only amendments that they care about are the Second and maybe the Third.
Here's what they did with this bill. And by the way, it was overridden by one vote. One vote. So the majority voted, but not enough to override the governor's veto, except for a handful of Democrats, the same Democrats that crossed over the line and voted with the Republicans on this horrendous budget that's going to cause untold suffering and damage with no revenues, again, never taxed their friends who pay for their elections. The same folks and a few others went over to support the Republicans in overriding the governor's veto of what will happen is women will have to go through some it's not called counseling, and then they're going to be forced to look at a sonogram to see their so-called unborn child. I mean, it's all, you know, interfering, bringing the power
and
of
it's demeaning.
Force of government.
It's
and
demeaning
men
that,
and demeaning.
That the government is going to interfere in something so intimate and so personal as your body and what decisions you make with your physician.
It's very interesting that they they go through all the song and dance about the government getting in between you and your physician. Tell me about exactly how
another example of hypocrisy.
Right.
from.
Well, it's all about power.
It is about power.
It's about power. This isn't about really morality. It's about people keeping power. That's all. And I think the big moneyed interests are using this, are using this to really hammer, you know, these social issues, so that people are distracted from the really important issues that affect them, like employment and foreclosures and health care.
Well, the point though is that these are quite important issues. It's just that they're not the only ones, and because you can get so emotional about them, you don't get so emotional unless you're unemployed about the employment and the economic issues. But they throw out abortion or what is it, abortion on demand or whatever it is as something to get people stirred up with and hold a shiny object over here so that you don't pay attention to the greenbacks disappearing under the table.
Well, the interesting thing, Dick, is that this does not reflect the majority of the American public.
No.
Americans for Prosperity can fund, you know, the arch popes and so on who run, I hate to say, the dollar stores, and makes money on poor people and who paid for people to come to the rally. But the overwhelming majority of Americans support a women's right to choose. So they are, and they also support jobs, and they're also terrified, which we'll get into in the next article, that they may lose their jobs. So it's not just the unemployed, it's the underemployed and Americans who are afraid of losing their jobs.
It's the big money that is funding all this, Dick, who doesn't, they don't give, care anything
care
about
women.
Whether abortion or not.
Right,
but
right.
this is but what Miriam's point is that they want to stir the pot so that we don't pay attention about employment or the power of the corporations.
And keep us at each other's throats.
That's exactly. Keep us divided.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
That's
exactly.
Right.
So listen up out there and find your compatriots who are on the same side of any particular issue that you happen to care about. And work with them and ignore the issues that you don't care about or that you don't agree about.
Yeah. Let me give you Verla Insko. And I give you Verla because Verla and Ellie are obviously supportive, and I'm sure they're heartbroken that this, you know, the override was lost by or won by one vote. So her work number is 919-733-7208. And I urge you to call because there are others going to be another major bill coming up around fracking, which is going to destroy our water supply, and offshore drilling instead of putting investment into solar energy. It's very important for Democrats to be there and united and in their seats, and it's a real challenge. And even the Senate now, by the way, is
going to give that number again.
Sure
I think
do.
We should always repeat it because we forgot to tell people at the beginning. Have your pencil or pen and paper ready, so by now you've had a chance to
take a big breath
around the kitchen, looking where you put it, and and hopefully now go ahead. Miriam.
Her office is
this seven, is Verla Insko.
Verla Insko, by the way, if you can look in the phone book and get her local number, but her Raleigh number is 733-7208. And Ellie Kinnaird is while you find your pencil. Ellie Kinnaird, oh boy, aren't we good? Is 733-5804. That's 733-5804. The next big vote coming in the Senate, you know, it's unlikely, but it is worth calling Ellie. Thank her for support, but we need her aggressive effort to embarrass the Senate if they support the House bill denying women basically the right to choose, determining what kind of procedure they have to follow, mostly men determining women's whole life and how to, you know, what their own choice about how to raise a nurtured family, which is just outrageous and distracting the public, as we said, with the more important issues. So those are the two of them, but there's two very important bills coming up now. And they think because the anti-choice legislation passed with such only by one, you know, would have taken only one vote to sustain the governor's veto, we may be able to, so important, guess what? The House sustained the governor's veto on the voter ID.
Wonderful.
Sustained the governor's veto on the voter ID. Amazing. So it is dead in this session.
That's right.
Not the not the other parts of the voter suppression bills, but they did pass that, which is really important.
So everybody get out and register.
Now, when I say pass, it means they had enough votes to sustain the veto. You know, they need whatever it is, three-eighths or something. So they didn't win a majority because it's obviously dominated by the Republicans and Republican-like Democrats, but they didn't get enough.
It takes 60% to override.
Right, but they did not have enough votes to override. So we won that battle, at least for now.
So is this with those four recalcitrant Democrats?
I'm not sure how they voted on this one, but I didn't see all the names. We can people can look it up. But the fact is that it was sustained. Her veto was sustained. Now they're going to be fighting.
So that's one piece of good news. That's an important piece.
It's
of good
very
news.
Important. Very it means important. That you know, people, as Dick and Lori said earlier, it's there is action that we can take as long as we don't become despondent and give up.
Yeah, and we gotta keep watching out for the weird stuff, like what's going on in Wisconsin, where they said that you have to have a driver's license, photo ID, in order to vote, and then they closed a whole bunch of driver's license issuing offices.
Motor vehicle bureaus, right?
And
right.
Motor vehicle bureaus, and predominantly in places where people who would you would expect to be Democrats are voting, such as in minorities, areas lower class areas. What a surprise. Kelsey Freese, as they say.
And by the way, there's something called the Association of Legislators who were ALEC, writing legislation all over the country, you know, taking these people to very expensive places, wining and dining legislators, and writing this legislation throughout the country. The voter suppression, the you know, the budget bills, it's all, much of it is coming out of this ALEC.
Immigration, SB 1070.
The immigration stuff, right. So we won that. People should be alert, and we'll bring you, you know, our news flashes as we go along. But get on the democracynorthcarolina.org website, democracync.org website, because that's going to give you the updates on the next level of voter suppression laws they may try to pass, which is, of course, cutting out early voting. Or reducing early voting and cutting out same-day registration.
And cutting out Sunday voting.
And cutting out Sunday. I think they may have restored that, but they may try to reintroduce it. So you need to keep tuned, because there are even more egregious examples of what they're trying to do to suppress the vote, particularly so they can secure power for the next decade, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, we need to take a break now and talk about our underwriter, Internationalist Bookstore, at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. Lori has things that she likes to tell you about the Internationalist Bookstore, so I'll let her do, because I remember half of them and not all of them.
Well, I just always like to have listeners know that, you know, that number one, it's a wonderful bookstore, that you get a lot of the books on politics and culture, and particularly progressive views of things that you're never going to find or rarely going to find in the big box bookstores. And even the big box bookstores are going by the wayside now and going bankrupt. But the other part of it is that it is a real community resource. It's a place to go and find out what's happening, particularly in the progressive community, a lot with the young people, and that they have movie nights, they have craft night, they have when people have come back from conferences or whatever, they often have speakers. They advertise about that in the Independent and the local paper. So that's just a wonderful place to go. And Dick, you're the one who always keeps saying the best, bumper stickers in town. So we just really encourage you, whether you need a book or none, we hope you do need a book, but stop in there and check it out. It's very convenient. It's right in the same block as McDonald's. It's right across the street from the bookstore and from one of Mediterranean deli, some of our favorite.
And stop at Mediterranean deli.
Stop at Mediterranean.
Right, and a comic store right across the street.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a happening part of town, and so we encourage you, and buses go, lots of buses go there, so we encourage you to check it out.
Right, okay.
And you can look at their website to get the calendar.
Right, their website is internationalistbooks.org.
.org. Okay.
And we want to tell you that this is a gang from the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, which the Triangle Branch, which brings you this show every week from 5 to 6 on Wednesday afternoons. And we have a variety of people, a variety of topics, and we try to keep everybody up to date.
And what is our website?
Right. Our website is Triangle, WILPF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, .org. And you can find our archive of
our shows,
previous shows,
on
there, along with the newsletter that occasionally gets sent out. Those are archived, so you can keep up with the information about what we are doing, or what we have done at least, and also some things that we will be doing, and some calendar events.
Yeah. So you learn a lot. We got a wonderful website, and we encourage you to check us out. We've had a very busy year, and we're going to be gearing up for the fall for some. Well, we're already. Miriam's getting us geared up for another push for the Housekeepers, which are a group that we have long been connected with and care about.
The other thing where we've started in Orange Chatham that Wilf is very much a part of, and it'll probably work side by side with the People's Assemblies that the Historic Thousands on Jones Street, mm-hmm. Reverend Barber's led coalition, is the Hope Coalition. We've mentioned that, and we'll have more news on here. Our public employees that are really putting together a whole grassroots campaign to bring the issues of workers and the services they provide that are so critical into a whole public education campaign, mm-hmm. especially in time for the municipal elections coming up in November. You know, we do have municipal elections right here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough, and in Chatham. And also, of course, 2012, beginning the big campaign to get out the vote, educate voters, and hopefully take back our democracy in 2012. I'm going to make this short because you wanted to play Tana's thing.
Well,
I don't know if we'll have much time, but go ahead and start, and we'll see what's
this is just
left.
Perfect. I just wanted to encourage people to pick up this week's Indie. On page 5 is a editorial opinion, and by the way, you can write letters to the editor. This just shows how people really can provide, you know, their own thoughts and get it printed. This is by Jonathan Weiler, and it's the debate about debts and deficits, in which he says it is a fraud. The title is Dancing on the Ceiling. The current high-stakes political standoff over the debt ceiling and America's budget deficit is a fraud. Oh, here it is.
Amen.
Get this. You want to really beat their brains out on this one. At the end of 2010, President Obama and the Democrats caved to GOP demands to extend the Bush tax cuts for 2 more years. Let us remember that the Democrats were still in power in December, but were so intimidated by the Republicans, I guess, taking over the election, and they threatened to filibuster and so on. Had those cuts expired on schedule, the projected savings over the next decade, and remember those cuts were favor the rich and the wealthiest, now 1% who own 40% of the wealth of this country.
And they amount to only a 4% increase in the tax percent tax, so it's not exactly like it's onerous. It runs from 35% up to 39%. That is not painful, although it could show a little bit of willingness to have shared sacrifice.
Actually, the corporate tax is lower than 15% with loopholes that are about a mile wide.
So he said over 10 years it would save how much?
The projected savings over the next decade would have been at least $4 trillion. 4 trillion.
Sound familiar? You heard that number before recently?
Right, which is what Obama offered. Instead, the deal expedited the date on which the U.S. government would hit its debt ceiling. And then he just challenges President Obama and the, President Obama in particular has disastrously legitimized this highly cynical game of brinkmanship by agreeing that we need to live within our means just like families do. This is all... It being debated within perverse framework that people aren't already doing belt tightening. I mean, the fact is we're all living much more, and
have you ever noticed that one of the ways that people are surviving is they've maxed out their credit cards?
That's right. And that this entire consumer
and that running a country is very different than running a family because the government
is all a bunch
of
hooey.
He said fraud. You're absolutely right. It is a bunch of...
But it's important. The government is responsible for major social, civil society, the right to live a decent life and a safe life and a secure life.
Right, and not worrying about whether that bridge you're crossing is going to fall down.
That's right, and with the infrastructure collapsing. And then, of course, they're threatening the very things upon which ordinary Americans rely, and that's your social
and
Medicaid.
Right, or that plane not crashing when it lands.
It tells you how far this country is moving to the right, that they are even Democrats talking about Social Security the way that they are, which is a bogus issue. Social Security is Medicaid with health care is bogus. It needs some work. But Social Security was always called the third rail, that if you talk about that, you might as well forget about being reelected. And it's shocking to me that this is even up for discussion.
Yeah.
Following what you're just saying, we're being subjected to the perversity of wealthy elites in a nation of vast inequity, elites whose economic security bears no resemblance to the insecurity faced by the majority of Americans. And they're lecturing us about how we can no longer expect to live high on the hog without high on the hog.
Right. The fat cats and the hogs are telling us that we can't live high on the hog.
Right.
Well, they're defending themselves. They don't want us.
They want to keep the money, but it's just shameless.
Yes.
I mean,
it is
shameless.
It is shameless.
He said without any apparent shred of embarrassment, of self-reflection, elite pundits and wealthy office holders have argued that Americans' sense of entitlement, older Americans have been particularly targeted lately, is unsustainable and that they can no longer expect the kind of public largesse to which they've become accustomed. And then he goes on, I'm just going to close with this, Thomas Friedman, who is absolutely not my favorite person in the New York Times, recently opined that our fiscal deficits could be laid substantially at the feet of baby boomers who squandered an incredible bounty by living too lavishly at the expense of future generations. I don't know how he's calculating that. It's worth noting that Friedman, in addition to having attained great wealth through his own best-selling writing, married a billionaire heiress with whom he lives in an 11,000 you read that right, says the author, an 11,000 square foot house. I mean, how egregious.
Then they lecture to
make those calls.
Yes. Yeah. Friedman is known in some circles as the mustache of wisdom.
Say it again. The mustache of wisdom. The mustache of wisdom. Could you give them David Price's? Because it's really important that we keep calling David that this egregious income disparity.
It's a wonderful tape that we were going to play, and they still give you a flavor of. Because it is about the underlying root of all of this, which is corporate domination and corporate personhood and the elites running everything. But this is bringing us up to date, Miriam, we will do the whole tape another time, too. Go ahead.
This is David Price's work number in D.C., area code 202-225-1784. And his local work number is 919-967-7924. And I'll run through those again. His DC number is 202-225-1784. And his work number here in the Triangle, office number in Chapel Hill, is 919 967-7924.
Do you have the general number?
Sorry, I didn't look it up. Okay. I'll try and
I
do
think
it
his
while
local
we're
number.
Yeah,
the next time. This Good. Is a local show. I think just call his local numbers.
No, I wanted to suggest that people need to call Senator Hagan.
Oh,
Senator Burr, and those in our friends in Chatham need to call Senator Elmers, Congressmember Elmers, am I right? Yes, Congressmember Elmers, remember who defeated
Etheridge.
I don't
want, we're giving that so many numbers on the show, Miriam, that it gets a number
but
show.
Do definitely call Hagan.
Yeah,
definitely.
You can look it up in the phone book, and if it come up, we may still. Yeah, have you found it, Dick?
Yeah,
one more number.
Hagan, K. Hagan, 202-224-6342. That's 202-224-6342.
And she's a senator that we don't seem to hear very much from. Recently, she was doing something locally about the debt crisis, but she's been mighty quiet. I've been really disappointed, and so maybe if we call her enough, maybe she'll start.
She was part of the Band of Six in the Senate.
Oh, that wonderful band of six. Thank you.
Supported. Right. Oh, yeah.
The gang of six.
She actually, Charlie Rose, what you were talking about was the UNC dialogue that took place a few days ago with Charlie Rose moderating. And
yes.
The only good thing about that was some of the people who stood up and said, why aren't you talking about fair taxes? And why aren't you talking about the military?
Yes.
And the wars.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, Miriam, have you said all that you want to say?
Probably not, but let's hear our wonderful tape.
We'll play a little bit of our tape for those of you who missed it with a stern, stern promise that we will play the whole thing at another time in the not-too-distant future, and we will have Tana back on for part two because she did not get in all that she wanted to say about the power of corporations that we need to understand if we're going to, you have to understand the problem before you can work on getting it changed.
Right.
And they can get the audios of the archive broadcasts.
On
the website.
Right? Yes, you can get the
And don't forget the meeting dates. Very important. NAA, the first Saturday at Hargraves.
At Hargraves, 12 noon.
And Wilf the second Saturday at the Chapel
at
Hill
10
Friends
o'clock.
Meeting.
We're at 10.
The Friends meeting at 10 o'clock.
At 10 to 12.
Those times mixed up.
Okay, go, Dick, go.
I'd like us to talk a little bit today about some of the budget cuts that are happening. Budget cuts to everything. It's education, health, and human services. Justice and public safety. Total cuts of nearly $1.5 billion. But these are cuts that don't need to be made. It's misleading to say it's a cuts only approach, and it is a way of getting rid of actually disempowering millions of people by further impoverishing them. We live in an era of tremendous corporate crime. There are some corporations, I hear the argument all the time, but corporations, my little family business is a corporation. Your little family business may be a corporation, but the large multinational corporations that are basically controlling our government, certainly they're controlling our political parties, they are not little family businesses, and they are not contributing much of anything. They don't pay taxes, many or most of them. And there is a huge list of corporate crimes that they inflict, whether it is crimes against the environment, crimes against people. Corporate crime inflicts more damage on society than all street crime combined. Most people get really incensed. They are so worried about somebody breaking into their car or, breaking into their house. But corporate crime creates far more damage and, in fact, is often more violent than all the street crime combined. Whether it's in bodies or injuries or dollars lost, corporate crime and corporate violence wins by a landslide. The FBI estimates, actually this is an old estimate, this is from several years ago, that burglary and robbery cost the nation $3.8 billion a year. The losses from just a handful of major corporate frauds, for instance, Tyco, WorldCom, Enron, Adelphia, swamped those losses and combined. Healthcare fraud alone has cost Americans $100 to $400 billion a year. The savings and loan fraud, which was called the biggest white-collar swindle in history, cost us anywhere from $300 to $500 billion. Then you have the lesser frauds: auto repair fraud, $40 billion a year; securities fraud, $15 billion a year, and on down the list. Recite the list of corporate frauds and people immediately say to you, but you can't compare street crime and corporate crime. Corporate crime's not violent crime. That's not true. Corporate crime is often violent crime. The FBI, again, has estimated that 16,000 Americans are murdered every year. Compare this to the 56,000 Americans who die every year on the job or from occupational diseases like black lung or asbestosis, and the tens of thousands of other Americans who are victim to the silent violence of pollution, contaminated foods, hazardous consumer products, and hospital malpractice. These deaths are often the result of criminal negligence or recklessness, yet they are rarely prosecuted as homicides or criminal violations of federal laws. Corporate criminals are the only criminal class in the United States that have the power to define the laws under which they and we live. It's not the mafia. It's not the gangsters. Street thugs? Mm-mm. It's the corporate lobby. They have saturated Washington from the White House to Congress to K Street with their money. And out of the other end, they put the money in one end, out the other end come the laws that they dictate. There is a group called the American Legislative Exchange Council. This group basically crafts and spoon feeds to legislators pro-corporate legislation. Anything that will limit liabilities, do away with any penalties and fees, anything that will give corporations a free hand to run over people and the environment.
If I'm not mistaken, that group was responsible for the Papers, Please law, SB 1070, in Arizona.
Yeah, talk a little more about that. Can you say? Yeah.
I don't know too much more about it, but I do know that they actually handed that to the guy who is now facing a recall because of what he did. And I also understand that there are some very heavy-duty businesses in Arizona that have discovered that they really need those workers who are being captured and transshipped out of the country. And so they're putting the arm on the state legislatures in places like Arizona to cut back on a lot of this
deportations
oh. and roundups.
Yes. Well, actually, I was watching a movie last night called Children of Men. And I have to say, in April of this year, I was reading a number of articles that are saying that's where we're headed, you know, living like that, where a handful of corporations basically control the world, and most people, especially immigrants into any countries, are imprisoned and enslaved. Yeah. It's a very dark future, and it disturbs me tremendously, especially since I have a one-year-old granddaughter. Large corporations feel free. They violate their own rules with impunity. Whatever lip service they pay to community or social responsibility, behind our backs, they violate all the rules. the automobile industry, for instance, over the past 30-plus years, that industry worked its will on Congress to block any legislation that would impose criminal sanctions on knowing and willful violations of the auto safety laws. And today, with few exceptions, if an auto company is caught violating the law, only a civil fine is imposed. Corporate crime is under-prosecuted by a factor of 100. The flip side of that, corporate crime prosecutors are underfunded by a factor of, say, 100, too. Big companies that are criminally prosecuted represent only the tip of a very large iceberg of corporate wrongdoing. For every company that's convicted of health care fraud, there are hundreds of others who get away with ripping off Medicare and Medicaid, or they face only slap-on-the-wrist fines and civil penalties when they're caught. For every large company convicted of polluting our waterways, there are many others who are not prosecuted because their corporate defense lawyers are able to offer low-level employees or someone to go who'll go to jail in exchange for a promise from the prosecutors not to touch the high-level executives. For every corporation convicted of bribery or giving money directly to a public official in violation of federal law, there are thousands who give money legally through political action committees. And now, in the wake of Citizens United decision in January of last year, money is flowing into campaign coffers. Elections really are now bought and paid for. And now with the Republicans in office, too, we have this dreadful redistricting that is going to pit the most decent legislators against one another. If I sound angry, it's because I am. I am angry that we have let this happen. We, the people. We are the citizens of the United States, and it is our responsibility to protect ourselves. We have to stop sitting back and waiting for someone else to do it for us. It is time we fought back, and there are ways to do it. One of the ways is to try to abolish corporate constitutional rights. Do you know that now corporations have more constitutional rights than you or I? They have, since 1886, in a series of long list of legal cases, they have managed to inscribe in stone their rights. They are basically considered persons with all of the rights and none of the responsibilities under law, because at the same time they were working judicially, they were working legislatively to limit their liabilities. They are covered under the 14th Amendments, the Commerce Clause, the Contracts Clause. There is no protection of the Constitution that has not been extended more times to corporations than to human beings. And it's time we stopped this. One of the premier groups working on this is called Move to Amend. And you can learn more about them at www.movetoamend.org. Move to Amend is working to amend the Constitution to revoke corporate personhood. And when we do that, we'll then be able to rein in corporations. As it is now, there is no way to stop a corporation. If they want to come in and pollute your water, if they want to do fracking, which has been, there is a lot of scientific evidence showing how dangerous fracking is, and we'll talk about that soon. We're right now preparing something to go on air about fracking. But one of these days, very soon, you could wake up to find that they're drilling for gas in your neighborhood in Central Carolina. And there are tremendous health consequences, negative health consequences. but I don't want to get off on fracking right now. I really want to stick with move to amend. We can amend the Constitution. It has been done 27 times. It's not easy to do. We'll face tremendous resistance, but we can do it if enough of us will take responsibility and decide that we are tired of letting corporations and big money dictate the laws and decide our futures. We have lost our health care, our educational system. We have lost our protections under the law. We stand to lose even more. We stand to lose the very air we breathe and water we drink. So I urge you, think about it. Think about what you love most. Whether it is fishing, for instance, boating, your family, gardening, your animals, whatever it is you love, wouldn't you want to protect them? What would you do to save them? What would you do to save the future for your children and grandchildren? I hope you'd do something. I hope you'd do whatever it takes.
We should take a break now. It's about the right time to stop. And this is Dick Paddock with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom for our weekly radio show. And we have been listening to Tana Hartman discussing corporate personhood and move to amend. And she'll be back with us shortly with some more. But in the meantime, we need to recognize our underwriter, which is Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street, a community resource par excellence where they show movies, where they have bumper stickers, where they have off-the-beaten-path magazines and books, and they can order what you don't see on their shelves but you might happen to know about. So stop by Internationalist Bookstore at, as I said, 405 West Franklin Street in downtown Chapel Hill. This is the radio show presented by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the Triangle Branch. And you can, you can find us on the web at Triangle WILPF, which is Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. It's easier to say WILP, I guess. If you go to trianglewilf.org on the internet, you can find out information about us, the fact that we generally have our monthly meetings from 10 to 12 a.m. on the second Saturday of the month. And we'd be glad to have anybody who wants to stop in at the Friends Meeting House on Raleigh Road. Up near the top, near the Institute of Government, you can find our meeting place, and we've met there for a long time, and we continue to, and we look forward to having you come and join us. You can also go to the Triangle WILF website, and should you happen to be interested in finding an old radio show in the archive, you can find that posted on our website. I think that that pretty much covers it, except to remind you that there is you should be reminded that if you have trouble receiving this radio station, this show or any other show over the air, because after all it is only a 100 watt station, which is about three coat hanger lengths of radius, it seems like sometimes. I mean, when I come up Main Street in Carrboro, I can't get this station sometimes. So anyway, you can stream our show or whatever is live on the air
through your computer by going to WCOMFM.org, which is the station's website. That's WCOMFM.org. It's time to wind down our show for today. We'll pick this up next time, sometime soon. I don't know exactly when, but we will bring this back and finish this the second part of this show and talk some more about corporate personhood. Thank you for joining us today. Here's one of my favorite songs that's going with me to the desert isle.
You're listening to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carver.